In 1926, Reith formed an advisory committee on spoken English, whose task was to make recommendations on policy and on the pronunciation of certain words. But the committee's plausibility was somewhat undermined by his own increasing ambition.
I don't know what the public wanted. It's what John Reith wanted, and it was, again, as always, to boost his ego.
Here's Jack Windsor-Lewis.
I mean, he packed it with titled people and professorial people and so on. It really was a sort of club where people got together and swapped their prejudices. Except for Daniel Jones, there was hardly anybody on it who had proper training in observing speech.
I had returned in 1934 from a fellowship in the United States working under Professor Miles Hanley, probably the most famous American phonetician.
The unmistakable voice of the journalist Alistair Cook, who was the youngest member of that committee in the 1930s.
Bernard Shaw, of all people, was the chairman, which was a very peculiar choice because he himself had this very rich Dublin brogue. And in the course of his conducting the meetings, he made lots of speeches, and he told us at one time that the only pure English in the world was spoken in Dublin.
Did you really have to wear dinner jackets in those days reading the news?
Certainly.
The voice of the BBC announcer, Alvar Liddell.
Before the war, you might as likely as not be receiving and looking after a distinguished speaker who would himself have changed for dinner, so obviously you had to dress up to him.
This was all under Reith, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Did you come across him personally very much?
I only had one interview. I was sent for. He'd been listening to the news, the 9 o'clock news, and he'd heard me mispronounce what is one of his, what shall I call it, hobby horses. I had said Glasgow.
Glasgow,
Glasgow, yes. Have you pronounced it like it ever since?
I certainly have. Well, you remember the impression Lord Reith made on one.
The advisory committee went increasingly wild on how things should be said, as Linda Muggleson has discovered in the written archives.
Charles Onions, one of the editors of the Oxford English Dictionary, was secured as a very important member in the late 1920s. What's very interesting is his decision to resign from the committee in 1932, because he really resisted the idea that the BBC should in any way be trying to construct a standard of pronunciation. This is what he could see was really happening.
Segment 1. In 1926, Reith formed an advisory committee on spoken English, whose task was to make recommendations on policy and on the pronunciation of certain words. But the committee's plausibility was somewhat undermined by his own increasing ambition.
I don't know what the public wanted. It's what John Reith wanted, and it was, again, as always, to boost his ego.
Here's Jack Windsor-Lewis.
I mean, he packed it with titled people and professorial people and so on. It really was a sort of club where people got together and swapped their prejudices. Except for Daniel Jones, there was hardly anybody on it who had proper training in observing speech.
Segment 2.
I had returned in 1934 from a fellowship in the United States working under Professor Miles Hanley, probably the most famous American phonetician.
The unmistakable voice of the journalist Alistair Cook, who was the youngest member of that committee in the 1930s.
Bernard Shaw, of all people, was the chairman, which was a very peculiar choice because he himself had this very rich Dublin brogue. And in the course of his conducting the meetings, he made lots of speeches, and he told us at one time that the only pure English in the world was spoken in Dublin.
Segment 3.
Did you really have to wear dinner jackets in those days reading the news?
Certainly.
The voice of the BBC announcer, Alvar Liddell.
Before the war, you might as likely as not be receiving and looking after a distinguished speaker who would himself have changed for dinner, so obviously you had to dress up to him.
This was all under Reith, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Did you come across him personally very much?
I only had one interview. I was sent for. He'd been listening to the news, the 9 o'clock news, and he'd heard me mispronounce what is one of his, what shall I call it, hobby horses. I had said Glasgow.
Glasgow,
yes. Have you pronounced it like it ever since?
I certainly have. Well, you remember the impression Lord Reith made on one.
Segment 4.
The advisory committee went increasingly wild on how things should be said, as Linda Muggleson has discovered in the written archives.
Charles Onions, one of the editors of the Oxford English Dictionary, was secured as a very important member in the late 1920s. What's very interesting is his decision to resign from the committee in 1932, because he really resisted the idea that the BBC should in any way be trying to construct a standard of pronunciation. This is what he could see was really happening.